Hey guys, so today you and I are going to talk about requirements gathering. So let's get into it. So the question in question was, Frederick, how do you feel the requirements gathering process has evolved over the past few decades? Well, I haven't been a well, I have been alive for the past few decades, but I haven't been a programmer for the past few decades. But I can tell you what I see is the one of the biggest differences between how software development is, for the most part, being done now, how we gather requirements as of today, and how the people that I work with who have been doing decades long requirements gathering. So the main difference I've seen is that the requirements gathering that used to go on was happening with more people, and the distance between the people who are going to do the implementation of whatever feature we're building, like the software development team, for example, and the actual consumer is a lot longer. You have a lot more people in between, or a lot of more middlemen between the software developer and the user. Whereas, where like for me, the way that everything's practically always worked is that at most there's one person between me and the user, and in many cases I talk directly to the user. Like that is probably the biggest difference, and I've only found that to be more effective because it always comes back to the same thing when I'm usually dealing with the old school men and women who still have like architects and like these sorts of people who like they design an entire system without ever talking to the users. And this is why I hear the same story over and over and over and over again, which is that the users are unhappy with the functionality, and then I ask the architects and the product managers and all these people, okay, how can we improve this? Oh well, yeah, we had to do it because of these reasons and so forth and so forth, and we had these limitations in the systems. And I go, well, surely you should be able to accommodate the requests of the users, because if you're building a system that the users don't like, then you're not good doing a good job. And they go, yeah, but like the, we haven't we don't really keep these sorts of dialogues with the users. And I go, okay, so why are you not talking with the users? Because reasons, like there's never a good reason. They never talk to the users for some reason. They get their business requirements from some other manager, so they never actually talk with the agent. If you want to see true pain and suffering in the world, go and take a have a go walk through one of those really, really big corporations. Their support staff, ask them about all their internal systems. Ask them how fun it is to work with their different company platforms. Like, just ask them how, if they feel like that is as efficiently working as it can possibly be. And the reason why you get to that point is usually, as I said, because you have technical people who get business requirements from someone who is not the end consumer of these systems, who doesn't, like, we don't even talk to the actual support staff or the people working in the different sections who manage and use all these systems in a proper way. And so we end up building sort of like we end you end up building like these sort of ad hoc functionalities that don't really fit at all, and turns out, I mean, it does do the job, but nobody's really at the on the user end usually happy about it. It's, as I said, it's sort of the waterfall problem. It's very difficult for you to build the right thing if you don't have a feedback cycle that includes the person who's doing the actual work. And that is, I think, the biggest difference, because today, and this is one of the reasons I argue that disruption is very feasible for practically any digital company who wants to take on one of these older, like, behemoths, providers of solutions and so forth. The reason being very simple, because if you can get a hold of the actual consumer of these sorts of products that are very old and very stale and so forth, and you can get, like, I mean, there are of course other complications, but the heart and soul of it is that if you get to talk to these people, it's actually you will find that a lot of these older systems and these sort of working ways of developing software, they're really only there because you have an outdated way of doing work. And usually these really big clunky systems, they are designed by people who are trying to maximize their customization ability and so forth and so forth. So they're trying to add as much as humanly possible to their platforms because they want to make as much money as possible and cater to the largest amount of people. But if you talk to the actual users, they're very, very rare. It's very rare that they're very happy with these sorts of big platforms, even though these platforms, of course, make money. But the modern way, if like the top-notch IT companies, they usually will vouch for, I hope at the very least, that they do a lot of user-focused requirements. And it comes down to actually interviewing users. You do user journeys with them. You do proof of concept feedback sessions, etc., etc. This is the biggest change, at least from my perspective, how we do things, because the realization we've had in the last few years is that we've reached a point where it's no longer feasible. Consumers expect more of us than to get like this behemoth system, and like nobody's gonna read a manual to learn how to use your digital product if they have a choice. And this is where we've grown into this user-focused and user-obsessed way of taking requirements, where you actually want to talk to the user, you want to get their feedback and so forth. And managing that and maintaining that relationship is key in order for you to be certain to get like a really good modern workflow going, because most startups and most of the modern like big companies and so forth work in a more user focused fashion. Not exclusively, of course, but it is definitely a trend that I have seen. So what I want you to take away from this is that I would say that the biggest change in requirements gathering is that it used to be the case that the software developers barely knew who was consuming their systems, and that may not have changed all that much in some companies. And you usually had a workflow where you had tons of requirements without actually truly ever talking to your end consumers, because those requirements are coming from other managers within the company who are themselves not users of the system. That's why we came up with the term dogfooding, which some people think is like, a good idea. And I kind of go, if you need to dogfood your system, like the idea is supposed that you're going to learn from it, but I mean, for me, it's sort of like, you should dog food, yeah, absolutely, but you could start by talking to the people who you're selling the dog food to, because you haven't even done that, which is like, that's even to me, eating your own, dog fooding your system is like the second step. The first step is to talk to the customer, which is, as I said, not the norm. If you go back a little while, it has become the norm in the more modern companies as of today. It's still not where it should be, but it is definitely the way things are moving. So a shorter distance between the software development team and the end consumer is definitely the trend that I've seen, at the very least. Have a great day.